This past week, I had an interview with the head of one of the main counseling agencies here in San Angelo, and what he told me didn't really impress me because I kind of knew that was happening, but he said that agencies were not taking any more clients because they were basically booked up. And so, I mean, that makes sense. That's here in San Angelo. It makes sense. I also have a friend in Cristobal who is a marriage and family therapist, and he's also booked up. And like I said, that doesn't surprise me, but that's good for us to know that just as we have physical issues, there's also mental problems. And I would venture to say that some of the physical infirmities that we may have to do, you know, with the mind. Some are specifically of the mind, like fear, for example, and so on and so forth. Depression, and you name it. We all know those. There's no need for us to mention it. But as I was reading this morning, Psalm 27, I realized that David right there, he's addressing the mind. He's addressing the heart. And the Bible calls it the heart. Maybe in the secular world we call it the mind, but we're talking about the same thing. It is the heart. It is the mind. And now David is going to mention a few things in Psalm 27 that discourage the heart or make it weak, if we can call it like that. What makes the heart weak? And if you read it, we're not going to read it because of the time, for time's sake. But for instance, in verse 3, you see that there's fear. For instance, though an army may encamp against me, notice, my heart shall not fear. So we see that there's fear of death. Okay, there's fear of dying because of an army, that could be. Though war may arise against me, in this I will be confident. And so he's starting to address the mind, the heart, and issues that can weaken the heart. And for instance, conflict with enemies. Verse 12, he's going to mention, deliver me from the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. So there's also fear or discouragement of the heart from conflict with enemies, from trouble. Verse 5, for example, it also says, for in the time of trouble, there's going to be time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. So we see also that trouble can discourage the heart or make it weak. For instance, I can also add to this, we can add many things, like for instance, the injustices of life may discourage our mind, our hearts as well. Unanswered prayers may sometimes maybe able to discourage us when we're waiting and waiting and there's no answer yet for whatever reason. Sickness can discourage the heart. Sometimes bad decisions, when we feel the consequences of our bad choices, we can be discouraged as well. Just plain weariness that sin causes on our lives can also discourage us. So there's many things. For instance, in verse 10, being forsaken by your family. In this case, when my father and my mother forsake me. You see, that's a reason to be discouraged. But he says, then the Lord will take care of me. Now, I think, thinking about this example that I gave you at the beginning, I wonder, and I speak for myself, how much am I doing to be booked up, to help those, you know, who are going through different worries or weaknesses of heart? And, you know, when you go to a secular counselor, they're going to have techniques that, you know, preachers usually do not have. And those techniques are good because they're well proven by science. Now, if you put those techniques together with spiritual teaching, you get yourself a great, great combo, okay? you get yourself a really, really good opportunity to be able to help. But anyways, even though you don't have those techniques, the Bible speaks about the heart. I just want to give you four ways in which we can have a strong heart from the scripture, from Psalm 27, that we can find. Notice the first one of them is right there in verse 3. A strong heart is the one who trusts in the Lord. Trusting in the Lord. You see, though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rage against me, in this I will be confident. So you see, there's confidence, there's trust in the Lord, and that's going to help our heart be strong in the times of, you know, when we think about all these worries and whatnot may attack our mind. So we have confidence in God. We just have confidence, trust in Him, that it's going to be okay. As, you know, when I drive, Nancy, usually she will never go to sleep when we're traveling. And sometimes I just plain tell her, why don't you drive instead? I can sleep. If you're not going to sleep on the road. So sometimes we trade, and then I just go to sleep right away. You see, that speaks of trust. And I mean, of course, she won't go to sleep, not because she doesn't trust me, but you know, that's the way she feels when we're traveling. It's better to have two set of eyes on the road than just one, and it has helped me for sure. But then when your wife or someone, your spouse, you know, your children, they fall asleep when you're driving, that speaks of trust, because you're basically putting your life in their hands. So if we put our life in God's hands, in Jesus' hands, and trust Him, just take Him at His word, that's going to help our heart be strong. Now, moving along, notice in verse 6. In verse 6, we do not have the word heart per se, but look at this. It's implied. It's right in the scripture. So in second place, a strong heart is the one which sings praises to the Lord. And wouldn't you be in agreement with me that singing praises to the Lord will encourage your heart, make it strong? It certainly will. And notice, for instance, verse 6, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, notice, I will offer sacrifices of joy in His tabernacle. Look at this. Back then, in David's time, there was no temple yet. They only had the tabernacle, as you can see. So, I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Now, for instance, Colossians 3:16, singing with grace where? In your heart. You see, that's the word heart. It's not mentioned in Psalm 27, but it's implied. And then you can go to Ephesians 5:19, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I remember when I went back to my hometown, and my sister graduated from college. They had this band, you know, orchestra, and they led the state anthem. Tell you, you know, you get goosebumps, you know, as I was singing that anthem. I'm really proud of the state where I'm from. And it's just, you know, feeling. So God didn't make a mistake when He gave us those feelings that we can, when we sing, you know, we can feel emotion. We can have that commitment again. And I try, you know, in my family as much as we can to sing when we can, and to, you know, encourage each other to sing more praises. Not only when we're here, we're blessed to have great song leaders, but also wherever we are, be able to sing and have those goosebumps come. It's okay. There's nothing wrong about it. Remember, you know, being a teenager, I like to sing this, the Beyond This Land of Parting, Losing and Leaving. I used to sing, I sang it in Spanish, of course, back when I was in, a teenager, and it really, you know, gave me emotion. And but anyway, see, it helped me, you know, focus for the day, and still does. So a strong heart is the one who sings praises to God. Now, number 3, we still have time, verse 8. Notice, now we have the word heart again. When you said, seek my face, my heart say to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. So a strong heart is the one which obeys the Lord. You see, we see right there, it says, you said, seek my face. What was the answer in my mind? What was the answer in my heart? He said, your face, sure enough, I will seek. And that speaks of obeying the Lord's commandments. And you see, we're seeing some, you know, based on Psalm 27, some ways in which we can have a strong heart and try to put away any discouragement that might come our way that I mentioned, you know, at least at the beginning. And we can achieve that based on the scripture, God, because God knows us. God knows what can strengthen our hearts. Now, the last thing I want to mention here is verse 14, right at the end. We see, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And to be honest, waiting is not something that nowadays we really, you know, do for free. You know, we do it when we have to, when there's a benefit. I remember going to take in the vaccine here not too long ago, and I was in and out like in less than 10 minutes. Well, it took longer for me to wait on the waiting, you know, to see if I was, you know, to see if I had any side effects before I can leave the place than the time it took me to be, you know, to have the shot taken. Well, my father-in-law, for instance, he took his shot the other day, and he had to wait a few hours, you know, to get there. And sometimes we have to wait. And we have to wait on the Lord. If we're going to wait on someone, it better be the Lord in the first place, because he has his time. Maybe the time is not the same as us, but he's going to answer one way or another. And sometimes a no, it's a good answer for us. It's not the time. Sometimes we have to wait for him to answer. And a lot of the times, I like to tell you, maybe you are also, you can also be a witness of this. Sometimes the Lord will answer with better things than we ask him. Better things. So it's okay for us to wait, especially in the Lord. So that reminds me, for instance, of Isaiah 40:31. What a beautiful section. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. We're talking about a strong heart. Shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I was reading from Isaiah 40 and verse 31. What a beautiful, you know, picture of receiving strength from the Lord. And we have ways in which we can achieve that. To have a strong heart. And it really breaks my heart, you know, when this topic of discouragement, because nothing can discourage an individual more than sin. It will discourage us. It will, you know, blow out the flame of encouragement that we may have. We won't be able to serve the Lord the same way, and, you know, many things will come. But the good news is that Jesus is the one who takes care of the issue of sin. And he gives us that invitation. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You will find peace of mind. That's gold nowadays. It's always been gold. Having peace of mind, knowing that you can go to bed in peace because your sins have been forgiven, because you have made things right before the Lord, and that you have asked for forgiveness, not only to God, but to those who you might have also offended. And then you can be in peace, knowing that God will take care of those sins that you committed after you have repented and confessed them. So let's keep this invitation in mind, and let's keep trying to have a strong heart in our lives as Christians, and just, you know, be mindful of those who may not have this, so that they maybe one day be able to have it as well. This encouragement that, I'll tell you, no counselor will be able to come up on his own. Okay, not on his own. So if there's any way we can help you tonight, if you're not a Christian, please consider obeying the gospel. If you have more questions concerning obeying the gospel, just keep in mind, first you need to hear the gospel so you can have faith on the gospel. confess Jesus as the Son of God, repent of your sins, and then be buried in the water of baptism for the remission of sins, and then keep on being a faithful man or woman for God. And if you are already a Christian and you have something to confess that has been bothering you, that has been public, if you would like to do that tonight, please come forward and let us know. If it's something more private, try to make things right as soon as you can, because we are not promised the day of tomorrow. Please let us know while we stand and while we sing the song of invitation. Thank you.